strange things that normally don't happen to an extremely dear friend who's going through some darkness this weekend with a marriage situation and many other dark issues. And as I've gone to the Lord with this, it's interesting because the message that he's given me is to talk about darkness and light, right? And I think about these songs we just sang. I love the Holy, Holy, Holy. I grew up in a Baptist church for a part of my childhood, and that was a staple. I haven't heard that song in a long time, but I love that song. And the whole message that, you know, though the darkness hide thee, the scripture says, we know that we serve a mighty God. And I love the other song we sing that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And, you know, when we begin to wrestle with the dark things in our world, whether it's murder of babies or whether it's terrorism or whether it's the rampant brokenness in our society, it just seems like the greater darkness that's all around us. You know, you look at the south side of Chicago and what we read about every day. I was a HR director down there not too many years ago, and I remember one day one of my CNAs came in and her boyfriend had been shot and killed. And that was a wake-up call to me to, you know, some things in this world that I don't want to think about every day, right? There's great darkness. So it's interesting as I've thought about this topic, and obviously we're here because we're celebrating Sanctity of Life, and Roe v. Wade now is, well, 1973. So that is 43 years that we've been facing this in our country, and it's not an American problem. It's a universal problem. And so as you think about that, you can get bogged down in some of the weightiness of it, right? But that's not the Lord's message. You know, it's nothing new that we live in a world that is dark, that we live in a world where there's brokenness, but we're here to be messengers of light. And one of the things I love about the Fit Moms program is they're the hands and feet of Jesus. And, you know, rather than get bogged down in the darkness, we serve a God of new mercies every day. And we serve a God of renewal, of new life, not just for new babies, but new life for each one of us. And so that's been, you know, my focal point, to just say, Lord, let's invite your spirit in to give us new life and to allow us to minister. And think about how we can be those agents of renewal. It's kind of fun that this is an E-Free church. My husband Rick and I and our son Michael were part of the E-Free church for 10 years. Now we're over at the chapel, and Jeff Griffin was one of the founders there, so there are a lot of E-Free roots with the Griffin family as well. So this is kind of a treat. It made me feel, this is comfortable. I walked in. I know this group. All right, so we're going to go ahead and dive right in and start with a couple of verses if this works. It's not on. That would be why. There we go. So I kind of combed through the internet, actually, in preparing for this and pulled some scriptures out of the Bible. And the first one is Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you to a prophet to the nations. That message shows us in that scripture that the Lord intended the womb as a place to be grown, to be cultivated. He knew us not only when we were in our mother's womb being, you know, grown, but he knew us before. You know, this whole concept of God doesn't plan anything without intentionality just really strikes us in that verse. Also in Luke 1:41, this is the story, of course, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So John was probably just a matter of weeks old or days old. I thank Amy for suggesting I include this scripture, by the way. And yet here his spirit was alive and was leaping with joy at the knowledge of Jesus coming. And then our Lord and Savior Jesus himself chose to spend 9 months in the womb. He certainly could have just had a miraculous appearance. You know, the Lord decided to create mankind and Adam and Eve out of Adam. And, you know, God could creatively, poof, just magically have Jesus appear. But no, he chose to come the way that we all came and spend time in the womb. So I also, as I was combing the internet, did a few lookups of statistics. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, this is not an American problem. I mean, in the U.S., abortion has been legal since 1973. but it certainly is a worldwide problem. So if you look at the statistics, annually, an estimated 43.8 million babies die from abortion around the world. That's approximately one baby being aborted every 2 seconds. Wow. In the U.S., an estimated 57.5 million babies have been aborted since 1973, so since the passing of Roe v. Wade. To give a little perspective, I just Googled casualties of war, major wars throughout man's history, and World War II is probably the largest at over 60 million. That's pretty close. So in America alone, in the last 43 years, there have been nearly as many casualties to abortion as there were in all of World War II. That's a sobering thought. It's a very sobering thought. And then I also, as I was combing through some different sermons, there are a million sermons on the web, and I just have a little snippet, just a paragraph or two here. This is from Ray Pritchard in a message he has, Life, What a Beautiful Choice. He says, we must continue, no matter what, to affirm the value and dignity of all, born and unborn. The Bible says that men and women are created in the image of God. In Psalm 139, 13 through 16, that God himself takes responsibility for the formation of the unborn. He is the one who knits the baby together in their mother's womb. He is the one who sees their yet unformed substance. He is the one who takes note of them while they're still in the womb. Who is it that gives life? It is God Almighty. Who is it that causes an unborn baby to survive inside the womb? It is God Almighty. Who is it that gives life and brings life? It is God Almighty. Who is it that takes the little hands and feet and eyes and nose and lips and assembles them, literally knits the bond? It is God Almighty. So if we believe the Bible, and we must, then I think we have to reaffirm our belief in the sanctity of all life, born and unborn. We have to say once again in clear tones that from the moment of conception, there is a distinct individual who has come into being, an individual made in the image of God, an individual with a human soul, an individual for whom Christ died. We must say that. We must hold it up. We must continue to insist that when a baby is aborted, it's not simply the termination of pregnancy or the expulsion of fetal material, but the killing of an innocent human being who's made in God's image. Some powerful words, again, some pretty weighty words, but it gives you some of the reasons why, as believers in Jesus and as followers of Christ and as those who believe that we're here to give life, that's the command and the love, because God is love, we need to protect and honor life. So what do we do with the darkness? What do we do? I mean, it's overwhelming, right? 57.5 million lives taken. It's over a million a year. It's a little bit overwhelming in our country alone. But we could argue the same thing, like I said earlier. What do you do with the sadness and the darkness of murder? What do you do with the sadness and the darkness of broken families and of hate and all those things? You know, there's nothing new under the sun. And as followers of God, we're here to love. And so, again, as I've been praying this message over and going to the Lord, I think that's the main thing he wants to convey here, that, you know, we are to do something. And it's not to be, you know, judgmental. It's not to be angry. It's not to be, we've certainly seen things in the news even recently the other month where there was a shooting. And, you know, you don't fight hatred with hatred. You don't, you know, it's not an eye for an eye. We're not living in that period of time. We're living in the New Testament, which is the period of grace and forgiveness. And so we have to give love to drive out the darkness. And so that's really what came across to me. What drives out darkness? Love does. Light does. Sometimes that takes sacrifice from us, right? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son. Everybody knows this scripture, right? That whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. God gave his own Son to die for us. And living out our faith, now that's a high calling. He asks us to live out our faith and to give our lives to others. So I think that's the challenge God's had in my life, and I don't do it to the fullest all the time. I mean, we all struggle, right, with our priorities and our busyness. It's one of the reasons I've felt so called to do a little bit of work with the Fit Moms group, because they're living this out. But we can drive out darkness with light. And so that's the biggest admonition and encouragement I have. A couple verses to support this. Luke says to give light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Psalm says, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. That's powerful. So our God is a God who is light. He is love. He is healing. We can't always wrestle and understand why there's darkness. I don't think that's necessarily our job to figure it out. It is. But we know that God is love, and he brings healing, and he brings miracles. Psalm also says, for it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. So my encouragement is that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. One thing I was struck by as I came in is you guys are a praying church. I'm amazed by all of these flags from the countries around the world. I love the imagery of that poster that says, will you pray for me today? And it shows, the shackles and the chains of the persecuted church. Or the message over there that said this message is illegal in 52 countries. And then there's another poster out by your cafe that says, we pray in church and we worship in church, but many worship in prison. That's unbelievable to imagine. We have the opportunity, though, we know prayer is powerful, to pray intercessory prayers. And I'm glad I'm in a praying church because I know you believe that. And I believe that when you pray, there are people who will be influenced, some that you'll see, some that you won't, but the prayers will be answered. And God's likely going to call you to tangibly, physically do something as well. So we have the opportunity to pray intercessory prayers, to seek those we can love and to minister to, and that we can invite light into. Because again, the message, the imagery is that light casts out the darkness. So we don't focus in the darkness, we focus in the light. And we focus in the light, you can expect miracles to happen. Speaking of miracles, they're everyday miracles and fit moms. Takesha's going to share her story in a moment. I hope you have your tissues because it may put you in tears. It's an amazing story. She is a walking miracle and is now able to share that story on staff with the YWCA with our little program and has been speaking throughout Lake County. We had another speaker here. I listened to the sermon audio history, and I listened to Chantel's wonderful message a couple years back, and Colleen Pope spoke, and she's another miracle and is passing, her faith on to her two boys. I also, as I was thinking about miracles, I asked permission of my friend Jen to share just a little snippet of her story. Jen is a mother of three beautiful children, married, and also has another baby on the way. And before she really knew the Lord, I had the pleasure and honor to just be her friend early in life when we kind of intersected, and I've seen her blossom and grow, and I'd stand here and say her faith is stronger than mine. She prays and things happen. But early in her life, before she knew God, she had some idea of who he was, enough to know that, when you're wrestling with things, you should maybe go to him with it. She had been raised a little bit in the Catholic Church, and she would have been young 20s. She had her first child very young and was probably a teenager, if I do the math. So she had her first child as a teenager, was with the same man, so they did get married, and they're having their fourth soon. But at the time, they're very young. He's finishing school. She doesn't have a college degree. They have one child to care for, living with family, but not necessarily the environment they want to stay in, and they find out they're pregnant with a second child. These are not uncommon situations. I mean, all the time, especially in our world where we have so many, broken situations where there's not even commitment or the same father. This is very common. You're in a situation, and it comes down to basic provision. So this is what often drives the women in our country to Planned Parenthood or other areas. And she decided, I'm going to have an abortion. And the thing is, there's something stirring in her spirit that she actually had the gumption to go to a church and pray first. So she's on her way to the abortion clinic, and something in her says, stop and pray about it. So she stops at a church, and she prays about it. She goes in, she prays, and she says, Lord, thank you for this baby, but I don't want it. I'm going to go abort the baby. So, and if you ever get to know Jen, she's one of the most candid people in the world, so she's equally candid with the Lord. And she prays, and she's wrestling in her spirit, and she's struggling. She goes out to her car. She gets in the car, and she turns on the ignition, and it won't start. And she just starts bawling. And the Lord spoke to her. This is, again, a frequent event in her life, one of the reasons her faith is so strong, and the Lord says, you're going to have a baby, you're going to have a daughter, and you're going to name her Kayla. And Kayla's here. Kayla means gift for the God. She, gift from God. She had no idea that that was the meaning of the name Kayla. So sometimes miracles that are that overt happen, and it happens when we have great faith. So that story is ministered to me, and that family continues to be a powerful family in our lives. Prayer is powerful. Our God is an alive God. Recently, at our home church, the chapel, one of my favorite messages from Scott Chapman, our senior pastor, was a few months ago, where he's been going through this renewal of spirit, and it's just brought so much to life in our church. And one of the things the Lord impressed on him, and he wanted to impress on us, and it's stuck in my head for a long time now, is that I am alive, God. We don't serve a dead God, we serve an alive God. And so we get bogged down kind of in the sadness and the darkness of the brokenness of the world, or problems. We tend to forget that. But God is alive, he's actively at work, and he's there. And, you know, when we really want to experience that, we will. So how might I be an agent of someone's miracle? Fit Moms is doing it. There are many ways to do it. Probably are people in your own backyard. So I would encourage you to invite God to show you how you might be a miracle. Another just interesting something that I think would be worth taking a peek at, there have been recently some great debates around the topic of abortion and some of the practices over the last year here. Some of you have probably watched some of the testimonies before the Supreme Court. Gianna Jessen's story is one of a couple that are particularly powerful. I would encourage you just even jot down the name Gianna Jessen and go online and YouTube it. This is a story that will put you in tears. But her story is one of hope and overcoming, and so it really just stuck with me when I watched it. I've watched it numerous times. She was a survivor of saline abortion, which is essentially a chemical. So it's a late-term abortion, and it's a chemical that's horrible, but it's intended to chemically burn the infant until the infant dies. Sometimes the baby's born alive, and there have been, you know, cases and people reviewing what happens at that point, because a lot of times they're strangled to death. She was one of those miracles. So she was burned at 7.5 months, and it turns the body and the skin black, and she was born alive. She was lucky enough that the abortionist was not present, and there was a nurse there who decided, instead of to call someone in to end the life, to call 911 and to save the life, and her life was saved. Not without any sort of long-term impact. She has cerebral palsy, and she's had, you know, disabilities all of her life. She's grown up in foster care. She's, you know, an adult in her 30s now, I think. So that was obviously a while back. So she's had a broken life, but she's used that. She's found Jesus, and she's found faith, and she's got this boldness, and she's been part of, you know, the testimonies to talk about some of the atrocities that we don't want to face. And I loved her quote. She says, "It's often from the weakest among us that we can learn wisdom." She's a miracle story, and she relishes her story because it's being used for a purpose. Miracles happen. Again, just kind of underscoring, and this whole focus on light casting out the darkness, believing in miracles, praying, asking God for who you might be able to serve. It's really important, I think, through this process. This is something I'm passionate about, something I really appreciate Fit Moms does so well. We need to remember that this is not a message of judgment. This is a message of grace. There are usually reasons, not that they're right? Justifying murder is never right, but there are usually reasons why these things happen. 1 in 4 women in the United States will be victims of domestic violence in their lifetime. 1 in 7 women in the United States currently live in poverty. And these are not easy things. Most of the women that we serve in Fit Moms, it's not like they come from a wealthy family or have a father who's actively working and committed and loyal or married. They have made really tough choices to raise their children when they know there are far more obstacles than most of us face. And we have to honor their choices and remember that they're heroes for those choices. And the message is that we're all sinners, and we all need grace, and we need to love them to the truth. And so that's kind of what we do at Fit Moms. We don't deal with darkness with more darkness or hate. We deal with it with love. And we have an opportunity to be Jesus' hands and feet, to show his compassion and show his love, to do so humbly, knowing that, you know, we didn't deserve his forgiveness any more than anybody else. For those who may be considering an abortion, we can point them lovingly in a different direction. For those who have had an abortion, we can be ambassadors of grace as they heal from that. A couple of quotes from obviously well-known people. Martin Luther King's, my favorite quote of his, is darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. And then Mother Teresa said, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. So that's the encouragement. Don't focus on 57.5 million babies and over a million a year are killed in my country. Focus on, Lord, what can I do to serve you in my neighborhood, here in Wadsworth, here in North Chicago, here in Waukegan is where we serve. You know, it can be simple things that you can do that have a ripple effect. Speaking of that, we're going to shift gears a little bit to Fit Moms. And I think I'm doing pretty good on time, so I'll probably, after I introduce Fit Moms, share a couple of testimonies that I actually found as I was researching online, and then we'll introduce Takesha. So Fit Moms, for those of you who don't know, is a faith-based organization. Everything we do is in the name of Jesus. We provide support to moms who are single. It used to be called Fit Teen Moms, but most of our moms now, it's a long-term program, so a lot of them have been with us for a while, and they're adults. It is a program that currently meets over at Family Life Church in Waukegan, off of Washington. We meet on Monday nights, and we have a whole program. The children come, children 12 and under, and the moms come. And we have a program, we have fellowship, we have Bible study. We have a whole children's program as well. So it's not just about teaching the moms, it's also about teaching their children. And so we have a lot of planning that goes into that and some very special teachers who lead that. We have then a three-year rotational program with the moms. We focus on courses like parenting and anger management and career planning and, just take a peek here, goals is a really big one. I'm wondering if I'm missing one. Did I miss one? All right. All right. And goals. So kind of the theme that wraps it up is, you know, setting clear, crisp goals. Because for some of these moms, it's a daunting task to think I'm going to get my GED or I'm going to get my degree. And, you know, some have gone far, far, far beyond that and gotten a master's. And I'm going to, you know, get this job and find the housing and, you know, care for these children. I'm basically going to be a, you know, a one-parent household here and I'm going to have success. Well, you don't just arrive at that overnight. So we set clear goals. In many cases, there are hurts and habits and hang-ups from the past that you don't heal from overnight. And so, you know, we certainly have our classes and then we connect them to outside resources as well. So when it comes to the parenting classes, that class is about to start up again this month. We just finished the career vocation class, so now it's going to be parenting. And something the ladies are focusing on is very hands-on, practical ways of parenting. So sometimes it's one way to, you know, hear it. You know, here's how you should raise and inspire and motivate your child versus actual in the moment. So we're going to try to focus on a lot more practical application. You know, when we observe a certain way of handling it or certain behavior from the child, give them examples of ways to lovingly redirect and lead it in a calm and, you know, godly manner. So we've got, like I said, Bible studies, children's programs. Jontel leads really dedicated case management. So, you know, this doesn't start and end on Monday night. This is a relationship, and so under Jontel and Amy's leadership and many other ladies who are very involved, they really get that one-on-one time. And we promote connections into the community, like I said. So these are bright, brave moms, and we're helping them create a loving community where they can learn and grow. We also have some regular newsletters that we send out. This one you can't really read, but it's just a regular update for all of our supporters. Ways to support. You know, we've got some that actually volunteer, some that give, many that pray. We attribute the success of the program to all of our faithful givers and prayer warriors. So if you do want to learn more, that we're going to be in back at a booth. We're right over here on the right-hand side. And our contact information's up here. Really easy to remember, fitmomsillinois.org or fitmomsillinois@gmail.com. And if you're interested in volunteering, these are some ways that you can volunteer. We have child care providers, teachers, mentors for the parents. A really easy one, but we need it a lot, is providing a meal. We like to do healthy. So if you'd like to prepare a meal and come and serve, it's kind of a neat opportunity. We love to have visitors, and you prepare and feed really all the moms, all the teachers, and all their children. And they appreciate it. If you've got donations, nicely cared for clothing or different items for raising a child, that would be helpful. I also wanted to read a little recent update that Amy had sent me. This is from a few months back. I gave you a couple of the updates for this month, but I like this one. So we at Fit Moms have had a very productive year. One of our first concerns at the beginning of the 2014-15 school year was to make sure that all school-age children were enrolled and regularly attending school. Not only were we able to accomplish that, but one of our girls even made the honor roll this year. The kids get very excited to bring in their graded schoolwork, not only to show that they're in school, but also to show how well they're doing. And it's actually sometimes very hard for us to get them all in school, so it's a big victory when we see this. Also, at the beginning of the school year, the moms worked on establishing goals. Once the goals were in place, we used a large portion of the year working towards meeting these goals. And we learned to overcome barriers. A great testament to that is our mom stories. One of our moms has been promoted to a supervisor at her job and has even written a book. Another mom went on her second mission trip last summer. A third mom just began her master's degree. In fact, three of our moms have just graduated from our program. Although goal setting and achievements a common theme throughout the year, we also teach classes around job readiness, parenting, nutrition, and anger management. We've had great feedback from our moms that these are very helpful in their day-to-day lives. We've had the pleasure of seeing the positive impact and changes in them. This is true of our Bible study as well. God has done amazing things in the hearts of some of our moms and kids. It's an honor to be part of it and see firsthand how God changes lives. Another great accomplishment is that we were able to send several of our kids to Christian summer camps this summer. This always proves to be a great experience for the kids. In the past, we have started the following school year hearing of their CAP adventures and what they learned at summer camp. Lastly, something we're incorporating into our group and would like to increase in frequency is our service projects. Teaching our moms and kids to serve and get back to the community is very important to us. During the 2014-15 school year, we were able to go to Feed My Starving Children and pack meals for the hungry. Then this summer, we did a Clean Up the Beach project at the Waukegan Beach. We plan to return to Feed My Starving Children and are adding new service projects. So, you know, if you were to sign up and want to be on our newsletter roster, those are some of the types of updates that you'd get to see, and it's a treat to hear about. So before we move on to Takesha, I was doing a little bit of this whole theme of miracles. I think hearing the miracles inspires us to believe that they can happen and that we can see them. And I was reading story after story after story on a website that talks about the sanctity of life and gives testimonies, because in my opinion, there's no greater, you know, message than a testimony of someone's miracle. And there were several different stories, and I'm just going to read one that really kind of struck me, and it's actually quite short, and I think it struck me because we never know when we're going to be a messenger in somebody's life, right? I think sometimes when we pray that God send a messenger to somebody or that we can be a messenger, he likes to answer those prayers. So it's a story of a gal named Andrea. After discovering she was pregnant, Andrea was feeling pressured to abort. Her boyfriend wasn't happy about the news, and her mentor turned his back on her. Scared and feeling alone, she made an appointment for an abortion. She went alone, and the counselor told her she was making the right decision. But Andrea wasn't so sure. She was sitting in the waiting room crying when a janitor walked towards her. This woman came close to Andrea, lifted her chin, and looked into her eyes and said, "Do you want to have this baby?" Andrea felt at peace, and she said, "Yes, I do want to have this baby." The stranger said, "Then God will give you strength. Put on your clothes and leave." But Andrea went to the operating room when her name was called. There she saw a puddle of blood on the floor. She immediately changed her mind about the abortion, but the abortionist tried to convince her to go through with it. But Andrea said, "I'm leaving. I'm having this child." She gave birth to a healthy girl named Christina, who now works in the pro-life movement. And I was just struck by, you know, the messenger was a janitor. I had a precious janitor that worked at one of my offices a few years back, and for years after I left that company, he would send text messages. He knew I was a Christian, he was a Christian, and there was a family member of mine who had struggled with some health issues, and every holiday he'd send a prayer, ask about the family member, and send something encouraging. A janitor, he really ministered to me. It doesn't matter, you know, who you are or what you do, that has no bearing on whether you can be used as a messenger. One of my dear friends who was struggling terribly this week with a very broken situation in her life had broken down entirely one morning, and she had to call an Uber to get her to her destination, her work. And that taxi driver was a Christian. And she shared her story, and he said, "God will be with you. You know, God will take care of you." That was the messenger. So I guess my prayer for all of us is, how can we be messengers of hope? And how can we pray for miracles, and that God would bring those in need to us, and that we'd be willing and able to be his hands and feet, and bring the message of hope and healing and new life, not just, you know, life for a baby, but life for the soul, into our community. So on that note, I'm going to introduce Takesha, who has a tear-jerking story, so you may want to get a little tissue. I'm proud of Takesha and her amazing story, and I'm sure you'll be proud to hear it as well.
Good morning. Like Carrie, this is my first time speaking before a church congregation. I've had several speaking engagements, but never in a church, which is good because I feel I'm free to say what I want to say. And I just ask you to bear with me because I get very emotional when I share my story. And it's not because I'm dwelling on the pain that I endured in the past, but I see where God has brought me from. So on April 27th, 2009, I found myself on my knees before the Lord, crying and begging him for a way of escape. And I cried for like 5 hours straight till I couldn't cry anymore. And I just told him that if he gave me a way of escape from this situation, that I would serve him with everything that I had, and I would raise my children to do the same. So a little background, I met a gentleman online, and he manipulated me. It was like a 6-month process, turned me away from my family. I left and moved in with him. So fast forward to 7 years that I've endured this abusive relationship with him. He made me give birth to my son at home by myself. And he was just very mean. I had to homeschool my children. We couldn't go outside. I was not able to have any contact with anyone in my family. He just completely isolated me. The emotional abuse, verbal, physical abuse, it was horrible. So when I'm crying out to the Lord, I had just had enough. And I relied on what I was taught as a child. And I told him, if you are really real, if you are who I learned about as a child, get me out of here and I will serve you. And I will raise my children to do the same. And on April 28th, I came home. In less than 24 hours, he answered my prayer and I was back with my family. But the work wasn't done. You know, I was free. And the physical bruises had healed, but that emotional and that mental was still there. I was still holding on to that. So when I left and came home, I was pregnant with my fourth child. I stayed in a shelter for a few months until I gave birth to him, and then my parents opened their home up to me and my children, and I stayed there with them. And so at that time, the Lord had instructed me that you need to write a book. And he gave me the title of the book, but I was afraid. I didn't want people to know what I had went through. And, you know, I was just afraid of the judgment, you know, and still dealing with the mental abuse and just low self-esteem. I kept repeating this cycle of getting involved with men that really didn't care anything about me in the hope that somebody would love me. When really the one that wanted to love me, he was there all the time. But I was seeking it from someone else. So I went on to have 2 more children, none of their fathers being involved. So now I have 6 children. And I was in a parenting class. And I will say that all the while I was in this abusive relationship, I was not allowed to work. So I have no work experience for the last 10 years. So I'm home, and I was taking some parenting classes, and a young lady was talking about how there was this program that helps out with children and moms and things like that. And she said, you know, they can help you with Christmas presents. And I guess that was the thing that kind of perked my ears up, because I'm not working. I have 6 children, a newborn at the time. And I'm like, oh, well, this is a way for me to help get something for my children for Christmas, not knowing what the Lord had in store for me when I called Fit Moms. And when I came there, I was so broken on the inside, and I hadn't had any real fellowship with women. And it was just amazing to come into that program with my children and get that the spiritual word of God and to be fed. I was going to church and I was doing what I needed to do, you know, serving God, but I didn't have that fellowship. I didn't have that connection with women, and that's what I had been praying about, that I wanted the Lord to put me somewhere where I can have a relationship with women and someplace where they can hold me accountable for my actions. So one of the goals that I had, well, a couple of my goals, it's always been to write this book. And, you know, I just kept putting it on the back burner. But, of course, I wanted to get a job so that I could take care of my children. And I wanted to go back to school. So that was what I did first. I went back to school. And I made the president's list, and I supplied them with a certificate. That was a great accomplishment for me. And then I was the mom that Carrie mentioned that was promoted to supervisor after I had worked the job for just a few months. I was promoted to supervisor. But even to top that off, just recently, the Lord blessed me with a job that I didn't even apply for, you know, and I'm doing what they're doing, what they did for me, that's what I'm doing now for other mothers with the YWCA. I'm teaching the parenting classes, and I'm working with mothers who were in my shoes, and I can share my story with them and be an example to them. Fit Moms is such an amazing organization, and I've gleaned so much from them, from the women. They just opened their arms to me, and I just felt like I was at home. I didn't feel like they were judging me. When I walked in, I was judging myself, and I felt kind of like an outcast. Like, I should be farther than I am right now. But they never looked down at me for my decisions. And I think that's what helped me and kept me focused on my goals. So last year in March, I decided that I'm going to finally write this book, and I'm going to get it done. Because I want to be a voice to women out there who are going through the same situation that I was in, and to know that there's hope. Don't give up. And not even if you don't have an issue with domestic violence or anything like that, but I just have a story of perseverance, and you can do anything as long as you put God first. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is my favorite scripture. And when you trust in Him and don't worry about what you can do in your own strength, He will take care of you and He will provide for you. And He's provided for me so much. I should not be able to raise 6 children on my own. But He does that for me each and every day. I have no idea. Miss Flowers has called me. And I don't even think that she realizes it. And I've needed things for my children. And she'll call me and she'll say, Keisha, I have some things for you. I have clothes for you. And she doesn't realize how much she blesses me. And I know that there is a God because He always provides. He always sends these people to me to bless me. So I just want to share just one chapter from my book. It's one of the last chapters. And it's called Home. And it says, in March of this year, I began attending a new church. And from the moment I walked through the church doors, I knew that I was where I needed to be. For the last 5 years that I had been back home, I was traveling over an hour away to attend Living Word Christian Center, sitting under the leadership of Pastor Bill Winston. It was during these years that I began to build and secure a foundation towards rebuilding my life and increasing my faith. I was not only learning the Word, but I was becoming a doer of the Word. The only issue was that I wanted to be a part of a ministry and not just a visitor on Sunday. I prayed and asked God to provide a place where I could attend and actually be a part of the ministry and my children could participate as well. Of course, as He always does, He led me to the Church of Joy. I remember walking through the doors that morning and feeling like I was coming home. The members welcomed me with open arms and hugs. This is the place that I have been praying for. I cried the entire service, and if my feelings weren't enough, the pastor was speaking on the topic of home. At that moment, I knew that this was where I needed to be. I told myself that after the service, I was going to ask someone how I could become a member. But to my surprise, the Lord took care of that too. At the end of the service, the pastor made a call for people that were interested in becoming a member. I couldn't get to the altar fast enough. I had no doubt in my mind that this was where I needed to be. Making the decision to become a member of this church has proven to be one of the best decisions I have ever made in my life. From the moment I started attending this church, my life has changed drastically. I have grown so much in the last few months, and so have my children. In fact, coming to this church increased my faith so much so that it gave me the courage to write this book. I had been saying that I wanted to write this book for the last 6 years, but I told myself that I was going to get it done this year. I was talking to my cousin one day, and she was doing my hair. And she informed me that she had just recently met a woman that was a publisher. I said, wow, I need her information. My cousin sent me her information, and I began working on my book 2 days later and was finished writing the book 6 weeks later. The Lord had already given me the title of the book 5 years ago and the month when He wanted me to release it. From the moment I made the decision to stop fighting and give God my all, He has met me every step of the way. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. This has been so true for me. It brings to mind an amazing thing that happened to me this year on the 6th year anniversary of me being back home. I was on my way to drop my 2 youngest children at daycare, and while I was sitting at the light, a bird came and perched on my side view mirror. I couldn't believe it. Birds don't do that. I took a picture of it with my phone because I knew no one would believe me. That experience touched my heart because I felt that the Lord was showing me that He was watching me. He was letting me know that He has His eye on me and He sees me. He knows I have a desire and passion to follow His word and be a living testimony to His goodness and mercy. His favor has overtaken me, and although I suffered a great deal at the hands of my abuser, I didn't give up.
I kept pushing. I kept the faith and I held on to God's word. And He is restoring me. He's teaching me. He's providing for me. He's rebuilding me. He's shaping me. His love conquers all. I went through a living hell and He kept me. He brought me out in my right mind. He taught me how to forgive and to cast all my cares upon Him, for He cares for me. No matter where you are in life, He is there for you. He promised that He would never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you've done, your sins can be forgiven. He says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I almost lost my life trying to live it for someone else. But if you surrender your life to Him, you will gain eternal life. Let my story be an example that whatever trials you may face, it's never too late to follow your dreams and find your purpose in life. I now know what mine is.
So I just want to say thank you to Fit Moms because they have been absolutely amazing. And they're planting seeds, and they planted a seed in my life, and now I'm seeing it blossom. Those seeds are starting to blossom in my life, and now I can go forth and minister to women like they've ministered to me. And I've already spoken to Amy and told her that I want to continue to be a part of Fit Moms, but no longer as a participant, but to give back to the mothers what they gave to me. So I just thank you for allowing me to share my story. Thank you, Pastor. And just keep me in your prayers. You know, I'm going to keep pushing, and my goal is to bring awareness to domestic violence and just encourage young girls on their self-worth and self-esteem. I want to put a program into the school systems to speak about that. And, you know, so just keep me in your prayers because, you know, this is a calling that I believe that God has placed upon me, and I don't want to let Him down. That is my purpose, to do everything that I can. He brought me through this situation with no scars, no wounds. I don't look like what I've been through. And, I just want to do it. I have such a desire to help others. And, you know, I'm just going to continue honoring that vow that I made to Him April 27, 2009, because He honored my prayer in less than 24 hours. So I'm constantly reminded about that. And I'm just going to continue to keep pushing. So, thank you again.